Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, that you sent him to do your will and in turn save us and bring us into your family and make us brothers in Christ. Just thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of Bruce and all the great teaching he's done for this effort and the Holy Spirit as guiding him, that we might learn and grow and mature in Christ. So be with the doctors today. Give them skill and give him a complete remediation of his melanoma. Give Bruce grace and peace, and Becky as well, that we'll see Bruce return next week. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for Don Maurer and all the blessings we have here as we come together in the name of Jesus to grow and be more like him. And it's through your Spirit we do this. Amen. Sometimes you can't stop saying thank you, can you? Last week, Bruce asked me if I would teach. I said, sure, be glad to. And I said, what do you want me to teach on? He said, teach on this. I go, oh, that should be easy. Whoa. there's a lot here when you think of the transformation process that goes in how we conduct our lives, but also in what God is doing for us. So we're going to just take a look at Romans 12, 2, and be talking about, is it think, act, feel, or is it feel, act, think? And one of the people I shared this card with said, well, you know, Tom, everything starts with feel. No matter what you do, you've got emotions. The idea is that you don't let that guide your actions. You do transformational thinking. You can't ignore your feelings, but you don't let them control you. You go back and base your actions on what you know. Think of what God has taught you. Think of what's in his word. And base your actions upon knowledge, not on emotions. Because emotions aren't bad, but as Bruce always tells us, they're arbitrary. I'm not speaking loud enough? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll even move this closer and get the voice louder. Good. So, the idea is, what do we know? How do we base our actions on the thoughts that we have and on not the emotions that we have? So let's go back and take a look at Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Oh, I'm going back here. I'm going back on 12:1 now. But I think that it's good that we do that. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I think three words that really pop out are, do not be conformed, be transformed, and then test. You know, and there's things that we need to keep in mind. But I love the way J.B. Phillips translates this in his paraphrase. Are you familiar with his Bible, Phillips? I like what he says. He says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you, remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of maturity. You know, and that kind of brings it down on a level where I can understand it, that, you know, you do at times feel like the world really wants to make you conform. It's going to squeeze you to be one of them. And we see that also in the church. You look at the way that the church was, say, 50, 60 years ago, and the way the American church is today, and there's been a big change. And it's great to go to church, so we are all the same. Do you see that? Do you find that in your experience? That there's a desire that we all have this shared, we call it brotherhood, but is it in real terms, spiritual terms, or is it in worldly terms, which are false terms? So thinking about how does God remold us? You know, he takes the knowledge, understanding, and provided, and wisdom provided by the Holy Spirit through his world, and he transforms us to be like Christ. So we're looking at, he's remolding us in the way we conform. He's remolding us in the way we transform. And he's remolding us in the way we can test ourselves. And I don't think a lot of times we actually think about, yeah, I need to be testing. I need to be seeing where I am along this route of sanctification. Am I going his direction? Or am I staying in a direction that's very pleasing to me? So if we're to conform, we are to be in line with God. We are being remade in the image of his sons. And as it says in Romans 8:29, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you think, okay, and we talked a little bit about that last week. Bruce was talking about election and predestination. But before we were born, before we were created, before the beginnings of this world, God had us in mind. And when we come here on earth and we grow up, he is then, through his Holy Spirit, changing us, conforming us to be like the image of his son, to be a brother of his son. And as Christ says in John 17, to be a co-heir with him, to share, not just to go to heaven, but to go to heaven on the terms of Christ. Think about that. You know, that's mind-blowing. We don't deserve any of it. So often we think, oh, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve. But what does salvation really mean? How far does it go? And it's more than just being accepted by God. It's being brought into the family of God and given a position that is beyond our imagination, and to be used in ways that we can't imagine, and to be used by him, especially with things such as spiritual gifts that we don't have, but that he gives to us, and that he builds us up for our use and for his glory. So I love those terms, though, that what Philip says, that with eyes wide open, look at the mercies of God. And then don't let him, let the world squeeze you, and prove in practice. Make your life a practice of going back and testing what I know, how I grow. What does his word say? How much of his word do I really know? And how much of his word that I know do I live by? And that's what we're saying here. It's the knowledge that then directs you in the way you think according to God's terms rather than to the way you feel. Peter also says that in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And how often do Christians think of that? Well, I was really dumb. I was living in a world of ignorance. It's usually, well, before I was saved, I was out. Now I'm saved, I'm in. and I can keep going on doing what I'm doing. But where you were was so much untruth, so much falsity, so much things that were against God, but you accept them because it was easy, because you were a part of a system, and God is trying to take you out, and he will take you out and change you and bring you into to his kingdom and to be more like Christ. So God is taking us through this transformation process, and this is what I think, again, we need to get a good grasp on. It's not only transformation thinking. We need to change the way we think about all these things in life. But he's changing us. Don?
Yeah, Tom, I can't help but think about, we think today the way things are going in this country and the moral decline and everything, wow, it's really bad. It's never been this bad before. But in the days that Paul wrote Romans, it was probably worse.
Yeah.
Christians were definitely in the minority, and with all of that was going on, all the immorality, everything that was going on, the persecution, the Roman Empire, it was not an easy thing to be transformed and not to be conformed to the world.
Sure.
We see things happening today. The gay marriage thing. I can't believe people who should supposedly know better, who claim to be Christians and say they're for gay marriage, and or other things that I forget now the exact percentage, but the polls that were taken, and 52% of Christians believe in reincarnation or something like that, and just really goofy stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's not easy to be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, and rest, the Holy Spirit is working in you, and you do know his word.
That's right. That's good points. Because we tend to think that the world around us is acceptable. We're talking about spiritual things. And who talks about spiritual things a lot? Oprah. Very spiritual person, supposedly. But how much of what she talks about is based upon the Word of God? How much of what is brought out today that is acceptable among the general public is acceptable to God? Very little. Christians, as you're mentioning, Don, talk about, it's good to have gay marriage. That's not based on God's Word. That's based upon the pressures of society to make everyone conform. We need to be very active. And you think we've had it so easy in this country that if you look at this pastor we hear about in the news now and then from Iran, who's in jail, he's given beatings on a regular basis. The only thing he's done is preach the Word of God. He's a good man, but not according to them. So he's got a whole different life than we have, and we have it so easy. In fact, it's too easy. And Bruce was telling us a few weeks ago about that one missionary. It says, what you need in America is more persecution. That's when the church can grow. And we've just had a wonderful, easy time, and we've let our church dissolve to where the Episcopal Church in America is no longer a real church. It's a sect, and it doesn't really preach the Word of God. It preaches stuff that makes people feel good. And that's, again, back to this. It's not about feeling good. It's about acting on what you know. Based upon that, you will feel good, but that doesn't start your motivation. You are motivated by what you know, and what you know is in the Word of God. The thing about transformation, though, I think is interesting. It's only used three times in the New Testament, back in Matthew and Mark, when we talk about the transfiguration of Christ. That word for the transfiguration is the same word that Paul is using here in be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's just not a change, but the apostles got to see Christ in his glory. They saw him physically change. And the presence of his father came down. That same word is what Paul is using to say, have your mind changed. Be drastically changed. He also says that in 2 Corinthians. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So he's referring back to Moses. Remember, Moses went and saw God, and the glory of God was so brilliant, it made his face glow. And that as he came down, his face was glowing because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And you're seeing a reflection of God's glory. But as time went on, that glory started to fade. So Moses puts this veil over him so people don't see that it's going away. What he had is not staying there. And he's kind of doing his human thing to protect his image. And that's what Paul is referring to, is that with an unveiled face. So don't be like Moses. Take the veil off your face and let God work in you, transform you, and let people see that Christ in you. Like St. Augustine says, I like this verse quoted a lot, you know, witness constantly. And when you must, use words. Yeah? Let people see Christ in you. Let people see Christ in the way you treat them, in the actions you do, in the way you react to things. And then you don't have to buttonhole and say, are you saved, brother? No? But let the glory of the Lord shine through, because you're his ambassador. You are a living gospel, you know, a letter written to others to see Christ. So look at being conformed, not to this world, but let God conform you to the image of his Son. And that's enough to make us humble as can be. And then transform us from what we were into what we will be, like Christ. And then look at the way in this transformation, how we're used. Because when we talk about going to church, and I think Bruce referred to this last week, I like to go to church for a good worship experience. And I'm sorry, I looked through the Bible. I couldn't find anything on having a good worship experience. I thought, well, how about I like to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't find that either. Nowhere does it talk about feeling the presence of the Spirit. But there are so many people in church today, and maybe sometimes we're kind of thinking that way too, that it's about how we feel in church rather than why we go to church. Yeah. Now, I don't know where you are, but for so many years, I would go to church because I got something out of it. You know, I'm like most people. I go to church, I want to hear a good sermon. It's one of the reasons we came over here to this church. Or I like to go to church to sing praises to God. Great music. I love to sing. Well, some people, I just go to church to feel good. Nothing wrong with feeling good. But all those things don't count, because what God wants you to do is go to church for other people. I don't hear that very often. I don't hear, go to church to be used. Go to church to serve. Don't go to church for you, because it's not about you. Thank you. Can I have an amen on that? God bless you. I lost my train of thought. That was great. Yeah. Yeah, you're there because that's what the gifts are about. And that's another thing that we just don't use enough or learn enough or concentrate enough on, what the Holy Spirit is doing for us in this transformation of things that we will do by him that we're not really trained to do. But it's him, not us. like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ controls us, or it constrains us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, that's Jesus, therefore all have died. You know, we're dead to our sins. You know, I die every day, you know, but this life I live, I now live in the this life I live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God. But in he says in Corinthians, and he died for all that those who might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So I'm living not for me, I'm living for Christ and his church. Yeah. And do we really get a sense of belonging when we go to church? We always go to membership classes, and yeah, I'm a member of Saint So-and-So, or, you know, Grace this and that. You know, you look at membership, but how many have membership applications for the family you live with? You know. You are belonging to a family. You're born into a family, and therefore, you know, there are certain relationships that you have and certain values that you have that go beyond anything that can be written. Well, you are now born into the family of God. Like it's referred to in Genesis, the family of Abraham. You know, that we are all in his family from a spiritual standpoint. Yeah. So, now, it's not a matter of belonging, I'm sorry, not a matter of membership in a church, but I belong to a group of people. And that's one thing I really praise God for, the way I've seen things develop in this Friday morning. There's a sense of real brotherhood here. The sense of, a lot of times you meet people and you just, as you talk to them or chat with them, you just feel good. It's not that you go there to feel good, but there's this good feeling that comes out of it, and that's the way it should be. It's just the opposite of the way people tend to think. So we have this belonging and this family that we are now in membership in a true sense. Yes?
I think it's still important to stress that feelings is a byproduct of our actions and a byproduct of our thinking.
Yeah.
I've come across very intellectual, reformed, honest Christians who almost dismiss the byproduct of feeling completely from the equation of thinking and acting, as though the feelings themselves are evil or like a weakness or a distraction from obedience to God. I think that we ought to feel compassion, we ought to feel love, but as a byproduct of thinking correctly about God.
Yes. And I'll say amen to that. Because it's in its proper role. You know, there are certain things that happen. And the good feelings, there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but it's not the motivation.
Right.
Yeah, the motivation is God's plan in your life. And we can only praise him that he cares for each one of us to do that.
Gethsemane describes it when Christ said, not my will, but thy will. When you're transformed,
yeah,
truly transformed within, yeah, then it is your will to do the will that he has given unto you. And then,
yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but that's the way it works.
Yeah. But that's why we've been raised for a good portion of our life, some more than others, in the world that wants to squeeze us into their form. This is the way you do it. Because the world is against God. You know? The world has a ruler who's diametrically opposed to the will of God. And it's so many times these subtle things come along we're not even aware of. And are we giving enough attention to the Word of God that we can see these things? Yeah, Don?
Yeah, getting back to the whole role of emotions, I know the word is not in the Bible, but balance.
Yes.
I mean, for example, you have the Ephesians. In the Ephesian church that Christ talked to in Revelation, great on doctrine, hated evil, but you've lost your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the other side, you have Thyatira, warm and fuzzy, but they talk. tolerate Jezebel, and you know, they tolerate false teachers.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a balance. And Don brought up Gethsemane. Well, you know, there you got it. I mean, Christ had emotion. He sweat drops of blood. You know, he was in great distress. And so we don't want dead orthodoxy on the one hand, but we don't want, as you said, to be ruled by our emotions either. So there's a balance.
Yeah. That's right. Balance is so critical.
And also just, I mean, this is about transformation. I mean, when you have a new believer, someone who's young in the faith, they are motivated by the feel, act, think. And that's why Paul also said, you know, I plead with all men. And there is a place in the church for that emotional appeal. Realizing that people are in this transformation, they're in a process of becoming more think, act, feel.
Yeah.
And there is that place in the pulpit as well as through the music of the church to appeal to people who are that way and to help them move more towards being more guided by that reason and having that emotional
outlook. Yeah. It's so often in working with someone who says, well, I just came to Christ. Maybe it was a half an hour ago. Someone that recently prayed to receive Christ at an outreach meeting or at a revival, something like that. And to sit down and talk to them and say, what evidence do you have that you're saved? And most of them will say, I don't know. I just know. I didn't hear any angels. I didn't hear a choir. I didn't see anything. I just know I'm saved. Because that's how God imparts. He doesn't give you an emotional experience necessarily, as he brings you into salvation and gives you the knowledge that you're saved. I remember this one fellow that had gone to, traveled a lot, and he's gone to his hotel room and just was at the end of his ropes and started reading the Gideon Bible. And at the end of it, just said at the evening, he said, well, God, I want you to take over my life. And he went for 2 years knowing that he was saved, knowing he was close to God, didn't have anybody talk to him about it, didn't mention it to anybody. It was just his personal relationship with God, but he knew that God was his God now. And then finally was introduced into a church and started growing and meeting other people and being in fellowship and then being used in the church. And that's what it's we're for. Is that we have this belonging, we have a membership into a family. Now what do we do? You know, if it's Christ's body, some of us are fingers, some of us are hands, some of us are thumbs or feet, some of us are other parts. Christ is the head. And that's not the administrative head. He's the head of the body. But we all have roles, we all have parts, functions that we do in this transformation. So the body can't function without each of us doing its part. Yeah. And so that, Tom?
Undergirding all this transformation and undergirding your basis for right thinking, I'm sure that need to be said, but is that you need to be well-grounded and well-taught in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not one that's a little more liberal.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. But regardless of his certification or his credentials, you also need to be testing what is that person teaching. Because you know that what you are in the Word and you come to get built up more, but then there are certain truths in the Scripture when you hear things that are against those truths need to be pointed out. Yeah. So, again, another good example in 1 Corinthians 14, that big section from 15 through 26, it's all about tongues. You know, how to properly use the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Some people say, yeah, that's about gifts of the Spirit. But if you go back and read it, and you see how Paul concludes that section, he says, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others. So the real essence of that verse is using tongues to talk about your role in the church and your attitude. It's not about whether you speak in tongues or not. It's about what is the purpose of it, and it's for others. And so I would rather speak with five words with my mind. I'd rather speak and communicate so others may learn than speak a thousand words in tongue and feel good. Tom. Yes.
Because you start with, think about this.
Yeah.
Through the synergy, and you go right through the word, picking out the relevant things that make you think.
Yeah.
Which leads to somebody acting on what you have taught them. And then comes the wow.
Yeah.
You know, say it.
But thank God that He's given us that ability to go to the transformation and think first. Act on what you know in the Word of God, on how you feel. If you're going to church, then you're going to church for others, not for yourself. That's a big change. Yeah. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now again, look at, you know, we are in the church, and He gives gifts to all of us for the building up of the body. I mentioned this to a pastor one time who was very well known for his church was always for the seekers, people coming in. And, okay. But I asked him, I said, did you ever think that when we come to church, it's for building up each other, that we should be coming together to improve, not just to go out and bring in the unsaved? He goes, I never thought of it that way. I thought, how do you get a big church growing when you don't even have the basis of building up the body? So we want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We want to attain the unity of faith. And as like I mentioned a few months ago, I brought up, Psalm 86, 11. Unite my heart, O Lord. You know, take me out of my heart. Fill my heart with Christ. You know, that me, what I want to do, is more attained to the world. You know, because I'm human. You know, there's a lot of sin in this body. And there's a lot of attractiveness that takes me away from Christ. So take that out of me, Lord. Fill me more with Christ. Unite my heart so I'm not divided, but I'm totally yours. And that goes for a lifetime. That doesn't happen overnight. But it's study. It's fellowship. It's using the gifts that God provides for you. And we then grow to maturity in Christ. And that's how we best work properly. So then we're talking about avoid being conformed to the world. letting God transform you and watching him transform you in your life, and then testing or proving what his will is for you. You know, like Paul says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, discern what you hear and read. You can hear and read a lot of stuff. But does it balance with this? You know, this is it. This is why everybody, you know, in anti-Christian world wants to destroy this, or people ignore it. You know, it's this truth. And this is our guide. This and the Holy Spirit is what helps us mature in Christ. Also in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we could talk about this for days. Freedom in Christ. Think about it. That in this transformation, you're also given freedom. And you need to test that freedom to be, is it glorifying God? Is it being used to build up others? You know, freedom to be guided by God and not to attain with the patterns, the values, all the externals, and the superficiality of this world. And when you think about it, those terms, there's a lot out there. So much is pleasing. Yeah.
I guess the concern that I have, several concerns, but going back to what Don said, living in the world, and not so much for the group of men that are sitting in this room, but more so for the 6-year-old, the 7-year-old, and the 9-year-old, and the conflict that can occur in terms of what is happening to them in the public school or wherever they're learning. And so the law is passed in Rhode Island 2 days ago for gay marriage, and in the state of Washington, and so on. So these are the laws of the land. This is what is right, and other things that are becoming right. And so they're learning and growing and with this. And so the challenge for parents to say to children and teach the next generation, which is a challenge, to say, well, even though that's the law, that doesn't make it right. Because what our standard is the Word of God. And yet, all of these pressures or influences, whether the pressures or not, but influences on them in the educational system and the peers and so on, because if the government says it's right, then it must be right. And to re-educate them that the government is not necessarily right and democracy is not necessarily right. God is not a democracy.
Yeah.
It's a monarchy. He rules. He is the king. He is the Lord. And he says this is what's right. Yeah. And so to re-educate or to create different thinking in young minds, I think it's a pretty good challenge.
It's a tremendous challenge because personally, I have 3 boys. All 3 boys came to know the Lord as little boys. And I thought, this is great. Thank you, God. You are blessing me. And then they get to high school. You know? Why do they all smoke? We don't. We never did. You know? Why do they do this? Why am I worried about things they're doing with girls? You know? It's the world. Then they go to college, and their thinking changes. And it's amazing how it's almost indoctrination, even in a so-called Christian college, how things can take them away from the world. Yeah.
What Bob was talking about, a great point, by the way. And the answers to a misguided government are written in Proverbs, because it talks about an unrighteous government versus a righteous government. I happen to read the Proverbs every day according to the date. It's pretty easy. I'm done with the book of the day. And when you read it, and I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it talks about unrighteousness being in the house of the king, and then he's unrighteous. But when you put righteousness in, and so when we Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go. And I wrote in my Bible, God's way.
Yes.
And then when he grows old, he will not depart. Oh, he'll wander. We know that the prodigal son tells us, describes each and every one of us. But Bob's point is a great point, because it's getting crazier in this world. But it is all in the Word of God. It's all answered right here. And it's not easy, but it's answered.
Yeah. I think it's there. You know, Tom?
I think one of the answers that we all who have children that have not grown into adulthood have gone through that same cycle, Tom, that you just talked about. And I think one of the things, among others, that we can do is, John Gesch used to use the phrase, keep on keeping on.
Yes.
So you keep doing what you're doing as a Christian, whether it's coming here and church or being involved in the ministry, whatever you do, and your kids will see that.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that may transform your children is when they have their first child, and all of a sudden they have
a baby. Yeah, it comes in. Very good.
I'd like to make a pitch for David Barton and the Wall Builders.
Okay.
And many of you here, I think, have seen him on TV. He's researched the archives, the photograph, the pictures, and the chiseled in stone things in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
About what our founding fathers were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wallbuilders.org, I think. David Barton, put it in Google.
It's amazing how much is there.
He preaches the Bible to them.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. The other thing I think, in terms of getting back to your point about children and so forth, it's how you model yourself. Because when I look at the things that I learned from my dad, he didn't sit down and teach me. I watched him. You know. And once I came to know Christ, I looked and said, that's why my parents and grandparents did what they did. It was their lifestyle. It was what they did. The modeling we learn that we don't think about as much. So, again, get into the Word and know that this freedom that we have, that in the Spirit of the Lord there is freedom, freedom to be transformed and undergo a metamorphosis and free to prove to yourself what His will is for you. Not what your will is in terms of a group of people, but for you individually as you are a member of a church, a member of a fellowship, and not just in fact, but in belonging and relationship. Any last questions? Yes.
I guess even going back whenever you started with, you had mentioned Oprah.
Oh. I apologize.
No, I just, you mentioned her spirituality. I just want to make it clear that with her New Age thinking and the spirit that she's talking about and the spirit that dwells within me, it's a different spirit.
Yes.
And so the other thing I wanted to mention, too, just with Augustine, kind of that, you know, just people will know that we are Christians by what they see us doing. But just thinking about even in John, and I know you didn't say that because you did say that we are supposed to say something. But I wanted to say just even with in John 17, whenever Jesus, he was talking about future believers, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. So we have that message. So we have to tell them what the Word of God says.
Yes.
And then the other thing I was thinking, that the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth is going to be, whether we're in a church that's being taught false teaching, the Holy Spirit's going to remove us from that and put us into an area where we're going to receive teaching that's true to the Word of God, because that happened to me.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to learn. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is transforming each one of us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that in him not only do we live, but we will live forever as heirs, co-heirs with him. And we just ask you to be with our brothers who are not here. Again, we ask you to be with Bruce this morning and give us all a blessed day that we might be used by you and come closer to that image that you have for us in Christ. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. By the way, if for those people that are new, if you didn't get one of these cards, we have extras. We're glad to give them out. Hi.
I'm doing it. I forgot your name already.
Oh, Tom. Good. You make me feel good because I forget people's names all